So today's shiur, I want to speak about the idea of Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. It's a very popular phrase these days. You see it as sometimes a little hashtag or Mika Amcha Yisrael. So on the one hand, it talks about, I guess, the specialness of the Jewish people. But then the second half of that phrase is Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So I actually want to think about the centrality, the importance of Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, in grounding the concept of Mika Amcha Yisrael as Goy Echad. And the central claim that I want to make and that I want to develop is that there is a notion in Judaism of the Jewish people being unified, goy echad, in a special way. That's part of the pasuk itself. But I want to develop the idea that Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, plays an extremely important role in unifying the Jewish people. That's the one of the main points I want to make in shiur today. And then from there, I want to take some time to explain the way in which Eretz Yisrael serves in that capacity as the unifying force, as the unifying agent for the concept of Klal Yisrael. After that, I want to think a little bit about the tension between unity and diversity, or the idea of, not pluralism in a strict sense, but the idea of there being a deep sense of unity, common purpose, but consistent with there being different subgroups, different factions within the Jewish people itself. So the way we'll proceed today in the first part of this year, I want to spend a few moments talking about the idea of the Jewish people as a goy echad, as a unified, like a single entity. From there, the second half of this year, we'll talk about the role that Eretz Yisrael plays in making the Jewish people from a disparate, disunified entity into a cohesive, unified one. Then in section three of this year, I'm going to develop the way in which Eretz Yisrael serves that role. So in the second part of this year, I'm just going to show Makoros that argue that Eretz Yisrael plays this role as the unifying agent. But then in the third part of this year, I want to spend some time clarifying the mechanism or the practical ways in which the common land or Eretz Yisrael is Ma'ached B'nei Yisrael. And then in the fourth part of this year, I want us just to start thinking about the tension between unity versus like unity of the Jewish people with diversity. Okay, that's the plan for the next 45 minutes or so. Okay, so a nice entry point for our discussion today is actually this week's parsha. In Parshas Vayetze, we know that Yaakov took Me'avne HaMakom. The Medrash tells us there that Avne HaMakom is plural, so that implies that Yaakov took many. And the Medrash tells us that he took 12 stones, symbolizing the different Shvatim. V'sam merashosav makom. That symbolizes that there'll be 12 different Shvatim coming out of Yaakov Avinu. But v'nasu even achas lohodiya shakulon asidin lios goy echad ba'aretz. Shenemar mika amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. The psukim shift to speak about the stone in Lashon Yachid, to symbolize that the 12 different tribes would be unified as a single nation. It's a very nice idea that we get from the Psukim here. Just to adumbrate, to foreshadow what I'm going to come back to in the fourth section of this year, notice here that we already have a notion of unity, goy echad. That's why the even, it turns to a single stone. The Torah cites, the Medrash cites the Psukim of Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So eventually that's like a single country unified working together, but constituted by 12 different Shvatim, right? Which are each seem to be a separate political and social entity. To me, that itself is a model akin to federalism. Like we have, let's say, in the United States, you have one federal government. There's a country, the United States of America, that has a single federal government, but it's constituted by all these state entities, right? Which have different cultures, different laws, different rules, but they're all unified under a single banner. So that's the something that we're going to return to at the very end of the shiur today. Okay, so we get both the idea of the 12 Shvatim and the idea that eventually they're going to be unified, Goyah Echad Ba'aretz. Now, to begin the first part of the shiur, I think it's very well accepted that there is a notion of the Jewish people being unified almost into a single physical or metaphysical entity. So look here, for example, at the Mechilta of Rashbi in Perek Yitas Pasuk Vav. It's Shtarshin Mamlachas Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. So the Mechilta explains, V'goy, so V'goy as V'goy Kadosh. So what does Goy mean? Melameid Shehein Keguf Echad V'Nefesh Achas. That the Jewish people are really like a single organism, a single body with a single soul. So just a very powerful metaphor about the interconnectedness of the Jewish people. And I think we're familiar with this from, let's say, halachos like Yatza Motzi Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh. The sugya of Yatza Motzi, which the Rishonim explain itself, is derived from Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh, is that the reason why I could continue to make Kiddush or make a bracha to be motzi somebody else, even if I was Yosef for myself, is because there's a sense of responsibility from each Jew to the other. So there's a sense in which I haven't fully completed my mitzvah so long as this other Jew out there hasn't completed his or her mitzvah. I assume you're all familiar with that concept. So that's the principle of Yatza Motzi. Even though you were Yotze, you could continue to satisfy somebody else, is because there's a deficiency in your own personal obligation insofar as, or to the extent that somebody else still hasn't fulfilled their mitzvah. Okay. So ad kidei kach, there's a sense of interdependency and goy echad, kol yishol arevim zeba zeh. I'll just point out that the Maharal has a nice interpretation of the word Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Anybody know how he translates Arevim? We're prone to take it, to render it in the sense of responsible, like a guarantor, from the idiom of, let's say, lending money and serving as a guarantor in it, like we learn in Bava Basra. But the Maharal, in a few places, takes it to mean Me'urav, from the sense of taroves, the connotation of being mixed together. So like there, it's very hard to speak of radical independence, autonomy, or individuality in Judaism, because we're kind of all mixed together, whether it's, you know, how deeply metaphysical you want to take that is a question we can't get into today. But that's related to this idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezeh. Now, the idea, the phrase of Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz, it appears in... So at one level, we have this just radical statement of the Mechilta, Melameid Shehein Kiguf Echad V'Nefesh Achas, and the Mechilta points to the psukim of Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Now, Goy Echad here means like the entire Jewish people are one. That's clearly the way that the Mechilta is learning it. Now, the source for this pasuk is really Shmuel Bey's Parak Zayin Pasuk Chaf Gimel. David HaMelech speaks about Mikam Chesu Agoy Echad Ba'aretz in the context of his becoming king. But this will transition us to the second half of the shir. Many of the Mefarshim, really beginning with the Zohar, but continuing onwards through many of the 16th century Mefarshim, somewhat Mikubalim in northern Israel, like the Sefer Charedim, Rav Azkari, the Shla, amongst others, they interpret this to mean Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. When are the Jewish people considered one? Only when they are Ba'aretz in the land. So here, for example, is a discussion of the Sefer Charedim in Mitzvah Tlius Ba'aretz, Ba'aretz Yisrael Parak Beis. Tzarech kol ish Yisrael l'chavei ves Eretz Yisrael v'lovo le me'afse Eretz b'tshuka gedola k'ben el cheik imo. Now, every Jew should have this love and desire for the land of Israel. He talks very poetically about it. And then he explains the reason for this. So the reason for having this kisufim and being misahev and having a desire for Eretz Yisrael, he says, is ki kishem shebachar bahem kach bachar be'Eretz Yisrael v'yiched osa lahem v'ein nikrayin goy echad ela ima. The Jewish people are only considered one with the land of Israel. It's very meduyak in the psukim. Isn't that the idea of mikam chisol goy echad ba'aretz? It has its maybe origins in that mechilta of Rashbi. But the Sefer Charedim makes it more explicit. Ein nikra in goy echad ela ima. And he says, that's pshat, goy echad ba'aretz. You're one nation when you're in the land. And this is also mentioned in the Zohar, in Parshas Emor on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. Here's one formulation in the Zohar. So the Jewish people, Yisrael del Tata, Bame Yikron Echad, when are they called one? So the Zohar answers that they're considered one when it's Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Vadai Ba'aretz, Heim Goy Echad, Ima Ikron Echad. Velo Inon Bilichudaihu. So they're called one with the land of Israel, but not one without it. So this this idea has clear support from the Zohar. And the Shla picks this up as well. He's really quoting the Sefer Charedim, so he makes the same point. We don't have to read it as well. Okay. Now I'll just read one other formulation in the early Achronim, who says something along these lines, and then I'm going to pivot to show how this is not just a matter of hashkafa, but actually, when you look at the world of halacha, this has resonance. So here's the statement of the Maharal in the Siv Hatzdaka, Perek Vav, in the Siv HaSolam. He says, Ki kasher nichnisu Yisrael aretz, ha Yisrael am echad legamri. When the Jewish people walked into Israel, they become a single nation. What's his proof? He cites really a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which we'll look at in a second. This will be the halachic support for this claim. The raya lezeh shehari kol zman sheYisrael lo avru hayarden, v'lo ba'u la'aretz, lo ne'enshu al hanistaros ad she'avru. So he says, if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which appears on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara there explains Hanistaros LaHashem Elokeinu VaNiglos Lanu LeBaneinu Ad Olam, that the sense of collective responsibility that the halacha holds each Jew responsible for the virtues and vices of other Jews, that only went into effect when the Jewish people crossed into Eretz Yisrael. There are two views in the Gemara, but at least according to one view in the Gemara, so everybody agrees that the sense of responsibility was heightened by crossing into Israel together. But at least according to one view in the Gemara, the Jewish people became responsible for each other's private violations, secretive violations. So, averos shebeseser, once we crossed into Eretz Yisrael. That itself is philosophically very urgent, or maybe even troublesome, because it's difficult to see how I could be responsible for an aveira that another Jew does without my knowledge or without my ability to intervene. But the Gemara says, once we crossed into Eretz Yisrael, there was onesh al hanistaros. And the Maharal explains, going back to his discussion here in the Siv Hatzdaka, he says, Hare shelo na asu Yisrael arevim ze be'ad ze. And here's what I mentioned earlier. Ki nikra arev shehu me'uravim hasheni. A person is considered a guarantor. The reason why that word arev means guarantor is because you're you're mi'urav, mixed in with somebody else. You don't have any deep sense of individualism. But velo nasu Yisrael michubarim lios am echad ligamri ad shabo la'aretz v'hayu biyachad ba'aretz v'hayu lahem makom echad hu eretz Yisrael. V'hayidei eretz Yisrael heim am echad ligamri. By crossing into Israel, the Jewish people became genuinely one. That's what triggered this radical sense of a Raven Zeba Zeb being intertwined with each other. And that's why it triggers liability for Nestaros once you're in Eretz Yisrael. And he sums this up very nicely. Vida ki ha'adam yesh lo guf v'nefesh, just like each individual organism has a body and a soul. V'Yisrael heim am echad mitzad ha'guf, v'chein mitzad ha'neshama nishmoseim shal Yisrael devukim be'am echad. So he wants to say, like, just like your body is fused together into a single organism, so too the Jewish people are fused together both as a organic body and also at the metaphysical level of the neshamos, their souls. V'chein mitzad haguf yesh li Yisrael achdus gamur. And there's something about sharing a common territory, specifically being bound together in the land of Israel, that turns the Jewish people into a guf echad. All this is clear? Okay, so we've established two things so far. Number one is this: obviously there's this notion of achdus, of unity of Bnei Israel, ki guf echad. And then secondly, there's a whole tradition in these early Achronim, in the Zohar, in the Mechilta, that connects it to Eretz Yisrael. Like there's something about the sharing the land of Israel, being together in Eretz Yisrael, that is me'ached. And we saw at least one nafkamina so far to this, one halachic manifestation, and that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Dalit, Mem Gimel Amabiz, about Lo anash al hanistaros adcha avru Yisrael sayarden. And once we cross into Eretz Yisrael, Rashi there explains nasu arivim zebazeh in this radical sense that we became liable for each other's averos, even those that are averos to besezer, even those averos that we couldn't know about. So that's one manifestation in halacha to substantiate this view. Now let's look at a second halacha that might support this. This case is made by the Avnei Nezer. He is noting a few halachos, many of which we've seen in years past in the Shir. The halachos pertain to laws, institutions of Judaism that can only be executed or performed or carried out in the land of Israel, such as Kiddush HaChodesh. Smicha is another example. There's a host of these similar types of halachos. Minoy Melech might be another example. But let's limit ourselves today to the two classic examples in the Rambam, which is number one, the idea of smicha, that smicha could only be given over in Eretz Yisrael. You could only reinstitute smicha according to the Rambam if you have consent of majority of the Jews in Israel. And similarly, the idea that Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam writes here, so that the Smicha one, the Rambam says in a few places, I gave you an example here in Rambam Perashat Mishnayos Bechoros Perek Dalet Mishnah Gimel. The Rambam says in Mishnah Torah and Sanhedrin Perek Dalet Lachi Yad Aleph. But the same is true for Kiddush HaChodesh, which the Rambam discusses here in Perek Hei Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, that determining the calendar, Kviyas Roshei Chodashim, Ein osin oso ela Sanhedrin sheva Eretz Yisrael. Really should only be done in Israel itself. And the Rambam in Mitzvah Saseh Kuf Nun Gimel, where he talks about the mitzvah Lekadesh Chadashim, is even more explicit. He quotes Kimitzion Teitzei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that, you know, if there are no Jews in Israel to Mekadesh L'Chodesh, you wouldn't be able to Mekadesh L'Chodesh, because you require Israel to... It has to be done only in the land of Israel. So we have Smicha, we have Kiddush HaChodesh. Let me give one other example. And this is really maybe the makor for the other two. The Gemara in Horios and Daf Gimel tells us, for the purposes of Parhelam Dabar Shel Tzibor, that when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake and majority of Klal Yisrael sin at their error, at their mistake, so then you don't bring individual karbanos, you bring one par helam dava representing everyone. So how do you define majority of the Jewish people? The Gemara tells us only the majority of Jews in Israel count for that purpose. And that's the principle behora, the Gemara tells us in Hor Yos Gimel, holech achar rov yoshve eretz Yisrael. Only the Jews in Israel count for determining majority. It quotes the psukim that talk about kahal gadol milavo chamas ad nachal mitzrayim. The kahal gadol was only the Jews who were in Israel. Shema mina hani hu deikri kahal, aval hanach lo ikri kahal. That for the shame kahal of kahal Yisrael, only Jews in Israel count. Everybody see that? Now let me just say there are different ways to understand the significance. Why Israel, Eretz Yisrael, is required for Kiddush HaChodesh, Smicha, for defining Rov, for Par Helam Dava Shel Tzibur. One way you could go, and I think this is the way my father understands it, is that Israel is the national headquarters of the Jewish people. I see Romy smiling because he's heard that phrase. And so, institutions that are representing the national interests of the Jewish people have to be located in the territory of the land of Israel. But you can't have a monarch in exile, something like that, right? So you have to be like in the territory to represent the institutions of Israel. So that's one way you could go here. But I think a different way to go, and this is the way Atav Nezer explains, and this is the idea that I want to develop in today's shiur. There's the Avnei Nezer. So we have it here in Orach Chaim Simen Shin Yudalid Dalid. He cites this Maharal in Nesivas Hatzdaka. He says, the Aretz is Oseh LaHashochnin Aleha Ki'ish Echad, turns the inhabitants into a single person. The land has this capacity to bind everyone together. He cites the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which the Maharal cited, about the liability for each other's private averos. Then he says, this is also the basis of the halacha that we just read in Horios, that behora, you follow majority of the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, hanach ikru kal, but not the rest. Same, he explicitly cites for Kiddush HaChodesh, Al Kein Tzorech LeKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka. And look what he says. D'nechshav ki'ilu kidshuhu kol hakohol, me'achar shekulam ki'ish echad, u'moil hakiddush l'chol Yisrael. This is actually a slightly different explanation than the one that I was quoting from my father. He believes that for Smicha, or at least for Kiddush HaChodesh, and for Par Helam Dabar, really, those institutions only work as if they are representing the entire B'nai Yisrael, like the whole Kahal. And his thought is that you could only be representing the entire Kahal if the Kahal itself is Echad, if there's an internal unity binding together the Tzibur. And that could only exist for the Jews of Eretz Yisrael who are bound together by Mikam Klal Yisrael, Goyachad Ba'aretz. But outside of Israel, he's thinking there's not enough of a siruf, of a combiner, of a unifier, to be ma'ached the Jewish people into one chalos. So you couldn't have any institution, Kiddush HaChodesh, representing the entire kahal outside of Eretz Yisrael. So it's a very fascinating idea. Again, it doesn't have to be at odds with my father's explanation. You could say that's why the institutions, the national headquarters stuff, like you might say that stuff, that could only exist when there's an ichud, which depends in turn on Eretz Yisrael. But either way, the Avnei Nezer's point is just to go directly to the notion of Goy Echad. We require Goy Echad for Par Helam Dabar Shel Tzibur. We require it for Kiddush HaChodesh. That can only be achieved in Eretz Yisrael. Umemela, you could only have these concepts of halacha in Eretz Yisrael, the aforementioned concepts. Make sense? Okay, good. Now, I want to spend some time. This will move us to the third section of this year. Explaining, like, what is it about Eretz Yisrael that serves as this unifying agent, this bonding force. So I want to motivate this in a few ways. I think I'm going to mention three right now. Three different ways that the Eretz Yisrael could serve as the Ichud for Goy Echad. Number one, I think the most minimal sense is the geographic ingathering of Jews in a single place and bringing them into proximity with each other. That's a really important aspect of unifying. Let me just give you a very concrete way of thinking about this. If you think about modern Jewish history, modern Jewish history in the sense of the last 2,000 years or so since the Churban Bayis Sheni, what did Jews in North Africa or Jews in Syria or Jews in I don't know, pick your favorite country and Jews in Tehran. What did those Jews have to do with like the Jews living in Germany or in Ukraine or in France? The geographical distance between these communities made it the case that there's almost no relationship, or certainly a very minimal relationship between these different communities, sects, segments of the Jewish community. And, by contrast, you go to Israel today, you could literally in one neighborhood, you could flip between, Jews that descended or even themselves came to Israel from the four corners of the globe. And then you have a society that is constituted of really a whole spectrum of Jews from across the globe that have gathered together in Israel. And it's the Jews of different hashkafos, different cultural backgrounds that are then brought together just in this single land. So I think it's almost trivial. I think it's obvious that there's an element of ichud, goy echad, simply in virtue of everyone living in proximity, bumping into each other, dealing with each other on a day-to-day basis, which the Jewish people don't have when they are scattered across the Arba Kanfos Aretz. Romy, do you have a question on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe I guess it's probably obvious, but that's not specific to Israel.
Correct.
Meaning, it could have been anywhere.
And Hanami, maybe at one point, maybe there's an element in which it could have been anywhere, just for this geographical proximity thing. So I agree to that. But look, we shouldn't discount that there's significance to Eretz Yisrael simply in virtue of it being the place where all Jews are supposed to be. So forget about the Kedushas HaKarka and right. Given that, like we don't. Given that Uganda is not the place, right? Or given that even Teaneck Ir HaKodesh is not the place. So since Israel is the designated place as where Jews are supposed to be, they're considered Goy Echad when they share that common area, common territory.
Yeah, but there are still two kinds of designation. Like one is designation that's like we could have picked Uganda and we didn't, and now it's Israel. And one is designation like the sources, like the midrashim that we're seeing in the beginning that seem like it's Hashem said Israel, so that's why Israel, which already gets at more than just the geographic
Maybe I'm just so I'm
ingathering.
going to give three different elements here. I don't know that any of them will rise to the level of metaphysical appeal that you'll want, or even tugs at the heartstring appeal that you'll want. But I would just say let's lay it as an assumption that Eretz Yisrael is the land where the Jews are supposed to be together. and then just realize that, hey, one of the significant pieces of that is simply the geographical proximity, contiguity of these different segments of Jewry living side by side. Okay, great. Okay, so now I want to move us to, so I think empirically, when you look at modern Israel today and Jews gathering into Israel from the four corners of the earth, there's just an obvious sense in which the state of Israel has brought together Jewry in a way that Jewry hasn't been brought together in 2,000 years. Maybe you guys don't appreciate that enough. But I just want to emphasize how remarkable of a feat that is. And let me just push back a little more on your comments. You know, for the idea of let's say the Uganda idea or the Teaneck, you know, bringing all Jews to Teaneck idea, you might even say that that's almost a physical, historical impossibility, just given what it would take to uproot all, there has to be a reason for people to want to gather in a single place. And it's not clear that anything but, let's say, the historical homeland of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the place that was promised to the Avos would be capable of doing that, right? So let's say my own view is that even if the Zionist convention went with the Uganda proposal, it would not have brought Jews there from across the globe. Think, for example, even just American Jewry, if you want to go to Israel for Yontif, you wouldn't go to Uganda for Yontif. There'd be no reason, there would be no reason to go there. Just you understand the point. So you might say that there is something, whatever special about Eretz Yisrael, that itself is necessary to even achieve this geographical proximity goal of being ma'achida. But I just think that as a historical fact, it's a huge achievement of the state of Israel that it has managed to bring so many different, number one, just the numbers of Jews that it's brought together under its protection in its borders, and number two, the diverse constituency of Jews that it's brought together, right? So if Israel brought together 5 million Ashkenazi Jews from Eastern Europe, that would be very impressive. But it's even more impressive that it brought together, five, six, seven, whatever number of millions it is from Jews from really across the globe, whether it's Ethiopia, whether it's Russia, whether it's North Africa, whether it's the Ottoman Empire, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, v'chule, v'chule. Okay, now let me move on to a second element of the sense in which the Echad Ba'aretz, that the land could unify them. I'm going to build this off a comment of the Chassam Sofer. But it can be developed even further from it. The Chassam Sofer here in Sukkah Lamed Vav is commenting on a Gemara in Brachos, relevant to our Lima this year, about V'yasafta Digonecha versus just focusing on Talmud Torah and Divrei Torah. It's a very famous, famous debate. So here is the language that he has. So Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, and I think it's Rashbi, about whether a person should focus their full time on Torah study, whether they should also engage in V'yasafta Digonecha. And the Chassam Sofer suggests that there's no machlokas. One's referring to Eretz Yisrael and one's referring to Chutz La'aretz. And the thought is that maybe V'yasafta Digonecha applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So there, everybody would agree that there's inherent value to working the land, reaping its produce, building up an economy. And the view that says you should just focus on your learning and malach chanas l'yedei acherim, that is referring to chutz la'aretz. That's the distinction that the Chassam Sofer draws over here. Now, the way some achronim understand this is that maybe part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz is to develop the economy. right? To build a flourishing society that's self-sufficient. So within Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah, v'asavta diganecha, that justifies your putting aside your Talmud Torah. But, you know, there's no equivalent type mitzvah obligation outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, what I want to say based off that, and I'll develop it a little further, and here's the intuitive way of thinking about it. You know, a lot of people, you know, I think about this sometimes. When you go to Israel, you feel that, look, you're happy to spend money in the Israeli economy because you get in a cab, you know, and let's say you have a Jewish cab driver, or you put money into a hotel, or you fly El Al. Like all the money that you're spending is basically helping to stimulate the Israeli economy. Any of you feel this way? Yeah. So there's a sense in which when you have a shared society, each component, financially, you could think about this, depends on other aspects of the system. And that itself serves as like a very important unifying force for a society. So you're unified by the socio and economic institutions that everyone depends on. So let me give an example, right? Even if you're, you know, of the mindset of parts of the Haredi world that, you know, you should just be supported by the tax dollars paid to the Israeli government, You need the high-tech sector of the country to flourish in order for there to be tax dollars available to support your narrow yeshiva, your parochial yeshiva interests. Right? And v'chahena rabos, meaning there's a sense in which there's a society that the different aspects of it depend on each other. You don't have to think of it just economically. I think one of the lessons that all of Israel is learning from the most recent war is that, and I'll just give the example of the Haredi segment of the society, is that everyone in Israel depends on the safety and security provided by Tzal. Like you're living in a dream if you think that Tzal, like having a strong army capable of defending the borders of Israel, is not crucial for the safety of someone living and learning in yeshiva in Yerushalayim. So there's the notion of goyecha, not just in proximity, in like, you know, you're living next to each other, you know, bringing a Jew from Aleppo and having him live as a neighbor in Israel to a Jew, let's say, from Frankfurt. But there's a sense in which there's interdependence through the shared social institutions created by living in a single land, common market, common economy, common tax system, common security system, which everybody is mutually dependent upon. Okay. Now, let me say this, let me develop this idea a little further. And I just think that's a way to understand the Chassam Sofer suggestion that that if in Eretz Yisrael, v'asavta diganecha could become a mitzvah, as the Achronim understand it, part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, because part of settling, here he says, Shavod mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that's the language that the Chassam Sofer himself has, because developing the economy in Israel is an important aspect of Yishuv Haaretz, which in turn is an important piece of the interdependence of the different segments of a society. Okay, so let me develop this idea a little further. So here is, and this is gonna transition us to the next point I want to make in this year. A really wonderful, insightful comment of the Sefer Charedim. Actually, I was always very taken by the Sefer Charedim. I think it's a really important central principle of Jewish thought. It doesn't get enough attention. You know, for a while I remembered this Sefer Charedim. I forgot where it was, but then I stumbled across it again recently by accident, and so happy that I tracked it down. So you guys should file this away and keep it with you for life. So he says the following. Aval vaday ain shlemus ha'adam ela b'taryag mitzvos sheninu l'moshe b'sinai. So perfection comes to the performance of the taryag mitzvos. Now, we all know, and I think I mentioned this in the past, and we all think this way, right? We all say it's a Jew's responsibility to be mekayim 613 mitzvos, and that corresponds to the Ramach Evarim and the Sagidim. So Taryag Mitzvos is the Solas and the Shemen, it's the warp and the woof of a Jew's life. But here's the Kasha. We also know that it's really not true that any Jew could perform 613 mitzvos. Like many of the mitzvos are for Kohanim, many of the mitzvos are limited to subsets of the population. You know, some are Kohanim, some Levim, some only apply to women, some only apply to men. So is it really just mistalk? It's misleading talk to say that we're obligated in 613 mitzvos. What do we mean by saying things like that? And we know Ned from the last year was very adamant that words have meanings. Words have meaning. We want to preserve those meanings. Good, I'm getting a thumbs up. So here's his question. He says, Vim Tomar, how could we say that every Jew has to do Taryag Mitzvos? Hare kama mitzvos tluyos bakoanim, uva mikdash, uva melech, ein kol yachid yachol kayim taryag. No individual could really perform 613. So you could say, okay, we're not talking precisely when we say this. You could give one of those, you know what we mean, answers. But the Sefer Charidim actually gives, I think, a better answer. And he quotes what we began this year with, which is the Yesh Lomar di Yisrael kulam nefesh achas. There's the notion that the Jewish people are really a single entity. He cites the idea of goy echad ba'aretz, and he explains that basically when you share a common society, so then each person is mekayim the mitzvos that they can't perform vicariously through those who are mechuyev in those mitzvos. I actually think in he himself, I didn't realize that he says this, but I appreciate that he says this explicitly. I floated this idea in my forthcoming article on mitzvahs gerushin in a long footnote discussion about ishto kegufo. I think it might have come up last year in Gittin. That, you know, maybe one of the reasons why women are pturos and mitzvah seishas man grama is because we believe in some notion of ishto kigufo, especially if you go with the Avudrahams type explanation. You know, and when the Gemara talks about, you know, the chiv of nashim for Talmud Torah, it says, oh, they're mizakin es baleim es b'neim lasok batorah. And I think he uses this as a way of generalizing the principle that this is true at a broader level also. So it's true that only Kohanim do the Avodah, or only Kohanim Duchin. But when you believe in this notion of a collective, a shared society, where each part depends on the whole and the whole depends on the various parts, so we're all participants in all the Taryag Mitzvos, right? Just like each organ in the body has its own function, but collectively, they all participate in sustaining life when they work together in the right way. And so the lungs don't have to do the job of the heart, and the heart doesn't have to do the jobs of the kidney. But collectively, when all the pieces fit together nicely, that's when it's well functioning. And the Sefer Charidim says, it's through sharing Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz that they're Gamehim Guf Echad that we can say, and we mean that each Jew performs 613 mitzvos. Pretty good theory of the Sefer Charidim, no? You guys like that or don't like that? Romy, you have a hand on this before I go on?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just think it's still a pretty narrow point. Like, if you take this idea to the extreme, it would mean Like how they have this discussion a lot. I mean, yeshivas in general, I think in Lakewood in particular, right? About like everyone has to learn. And like, well, some people can't sit and learn, and maybe they should play some other role that contributes to the general klal, right? But that's not like that makes a lot of sense. This is different because it's still so restricted by like status or gender.
I see this. I'm going to generalize this in exactly the direction that you're suggesting. I think it's exactly what he's saying is that when you think about kiyum and taryag mitzvos, there's a sense in which you're mekayim it in a collective way. And that's how the system's supposed to work. So when you have a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and you have Kohanim and Leviim, you know, working in Yerushalayim, and each part of the country is like doing what they're supposed to be doing, then that's when you have Goy Echad Baaretz, and you know, everyone's kind of benefiting from the Kol Yisrael Arevim Uravim Zeh B'Zeh for the proper Kiyum HaMitzvos. So I just want to say this, I think, is a third dimension in which we have this idea of the land being a unifier. It's the interconnectedness, not just in geographical proximity, and not just in terms of sharing institutions like markets and a tax system and common security apparatus. Like everyone needs the Iron Dome to work well. Everyone needs like the roads to be paved and the hospitals. But more than that, even at the religious and the value theory level, everyone is kind of a high tide lifts all boats, right? Like everybody is interconnected at the level of moral accountability and spiritual religious accomplishment. I think that's the strongest sense. That's the third level of where you could realize Goy Echad Baaretz. And by the way, you could look at the institutions of the Torah as seeking to advance that. So for example, when you have Leket Shikcha and Peah and Maser and like all those parts of Halacha, you know, the Matnos Kehuna, the Beis HaMikdash is the Mechaper, you could even see how it's a much richer web of connectedness than you have in just like at the social or economic level. Okay. Now let me say I want to say one more piece to nail home the sense of unity, and then I'll pivot to the last section of the shiur about diversity, which is diversity and unity, which Romy was touching on. So at the very end of my associate, and I have to reorganize it. So I have here this little this Dvar Torah that Rabbi Jonathan Sachs has on Parshas Truma. And I'm not super well versed in Rabbi Sachs's writings, but one year when I was in Englewood, he came for Shabbos and he gave this Dvar Torah. And it was actually very good. And the idea was that if you read through Sefer Shmos, you'll see that one of the overarching themes is, you know, B'nai Yisrael complaining. Certainly once they, even in Mitzrayim, once we're in the Midbar complaining about the man, we're complaining about water, we're complaining about the conditions under the Egyptians, we want to go back to Mitzrayim, we don't want to be in Mitzrayim. Right? This is clearly a repeating theme throughout the book of Shmos. And what Rabbi Sachs points out, he has some nice other ways of developing this idea. I'll just give you two of the things that motivate this analysis. So one thing that he points out, as I mentioned, is this idea of like the Jews are complaining throughout the Sefer. And you could even view parts of the Sefer, and this is consistent with what we know from the Mefarshim, that the arc of Sefer Shmos is going from like the family of Bnei Israel to a nation of Bnei Israel, right? You have the just Yaakov's immediate family and the sons, the Shvatim. And then from there, like, how do you build a nation out of this like ragtag, whiny and kvetchy group of people? That seems to be the arc of Shmos, right? Now, part of that, and that's supported by, look, Bnei Israel in the Midbar, they're complaining, they can't get along. Moshe is trying to make laws for them, like as they walk through the Midbar, but there's a lot of disunity, a lot of griping, a lot of fighting. Now, another piece of evidence that he points to is just notice that the Sefer of Shemos ends with the building of the Mishkan. That's the great climax of the Sefer, which he points out is funny. You might have thought that the Mishkan belongs in Sefer Vayikra with the Dinam of Avoda and things like that. Why is that the culmination of Sefer Shemos? And he also points out that the psukim in Truma Vayakel Pekudei, they go to great lengths, and we could talk about this when we get there in the Parshios, to really show that each member of the Jewish community pitched in for the construction project. It talks about what the woman did and what the artisans did, and you know, several times the Torah repeats that like everybody was involved in this project. And Rabbi Sachs's insight, which I think is spot on, is that the project of the Mishkan is what ultimately unified the Jewish people, because they had a common constructive pursuit. There was like a common project that they were all rolling up their sleeves for and working together to build. And that was the resolution to the much of the squabbling, whining, disunity throughout Sefer Shemos. So the binyan of the Mishkan was not just a din and kudshim, is my formulation, but the project and the way the Torah communicates the project to us was that the having a common goal of building something together with a common sense of purpose was how the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan project, achieved unity for the Jewish people. Does that sound at least you could take a look at the Dvar Torah here and you could see how well it resonates with you. Now, I think just to build off the idea that I'm developing in today's shiur, is that the project of building up Eretz Yisrael, of like the Jews coming into a land and having to put down infrastructure and develop that as a common sense of purpose, that has amazing power to unify people into with like a single common goal, right? Now, I think that is one of the main goals, or that, well, I think as religious Zionists, or just as from Jews, like we should look to one of the things that the state of Israel has the extraordinary, the incredible capacity to do, is to serve as a unifying force amongst the Jewish people, because every Jew should be a stakeholder, an interested stakeholder, in trying to build up the success and the viability of the modern land of Israel. And so when you're focused on, like, yes, here's what we all have in common. We all have an interest in there being safety and security in Eretz Israel. We all have a common interest in it being a Jewish state. We all have Jewish infrastructure. We all have a common interest in the economy being successful. Something like the state of Israel really has an extraordinary power to be goy echad ba'aretz through that common construction project, right? A common sense of purpose, which the Jewish people didn't share for 2,000 years. Or if we did share it, it was locally. You know, everyone had their own Beis HaKnesses they were building, their own yeshiva that they were building. You haven't had a joint project like the Mishkan in 2,000 years that every Jew should feel like they're a common stakeholder in. Now, it's a bit of an irony in the history of Zionism that, sure, in the 19th century, Zionism itself was super divisive. You know, for good reasons, because the Jewish socialists didn't think there should be a nation, and because many of the religious Jews thought that this is a secular project. But I think a lot of that is past history. I think certainly the modern state of Israel, you'll find that recent terrorist attacks in Israel, Jewry, except for some of the crazy Neturei Karta people. But I think even the Agudas Yisrael, even let's say like the quote unquote Litvish, Yeshivish, and like, you know, mainstream Hasidish community, like everyone recognizes how important the state of Israel is for protecting Jewry and for developing Jewish institutions in the land of Israel. So I think the sense of Goyach and Ba'aretz is more true today than at any point in Jewish history of the last 2,000 years. And I think we as like Orthodox Jews, as religious Jews, as, you know, supporters of the land of Israel, I think this should be, I would say, the one of the greatest, one of the most important projects of the 21st century is to make sure that all of Jewry feels like they have this sense of stakeholdership in developing and building, supporting the land of Israel in this way that gives us a common project, one that all of us should be compelled to see to fruition and to a success, analogous to this idea of the Mishkan being the unifying force across like a Jewry that had, you know, just different interests and were at odds with each other. Ned, do you have a hand? And then I'll make my last, I'll go on to the last section of this year. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, what do you do with, you know, the more like quietest, non-active approach? Meaning all you said about, you know, all the Makarot that you showed about the unity and the like the organic nature of Am Yisrael are all true, that somebody can say in a Hanami, but that's not sort of for us to achieve within like a national political framework.
So, are you trying to say that one could just read the Makoros as not being like I'm clearly interpreting the Goyach HaBaaretz in almost
a normative way.
Shared social institutions, shared political institutions, shared.
But you can argue all those things, but I'm saying whether or not that therefore we should be pursuing those things actively as opposed to sort of having them in some, you know, eschatological future.
I would say, like, I think, you know, the eschatological stuff is interesting, you know, when you get into things like the Gimel Shavuos and, you know, how much. So I think there's a room for that debate. I don't see that as being relevant to this discussion, because I think nobody thinks that Goyach HaBaaretz is limited to Moshe Mashiach, or at least not that I've seen. I think what's nice about it is that it's widely viewed as just like the sharing the land of Eretz Yisrael and, you know, being there together creates that sense of Goyach HaBaaretz. It's not a messianic, it's not a Lasid Lavo type claim, as I understand it. Ned, do you want to follow up?
No, I mean, I agree with you. I'm saying there is that Bar Plukta out there.
I think if you were to find somebody who says that's all Moshe Mashiach, I'd be interested in give them my phone number. We could have a conference call and we'll figure it out. But I just to emphasize on this point, I think that, you know, many Jewish institutions of today, they continue, they've inherited or they'll, I would say, outwardly, I should say it's not true even. I think today you find such broad support across such a wide spectrum of Jewry for the state of Israel, or for the importance of there being a Jewish controlled land of Israel, that this, you know, would be the greatest unifying. And I think it is, you know, even with all this internal kind of fighting in Israel, or at least what was, when you put it into perspective, certainly the perspective that was given to us after the terrorist attack of Simchas Torah, when you put it into perspective, everyone realizes like how important the state of Israel is, and it's the success of its security forces, the success of Tzahal, the importance of the economy for everybody. And I think that's like a project that we should all be trying to advance, whether that's horizontally, as in like, you know, making sure that people on both on the extreme right and on the extreme left rally behind Israel and see themselves as stakeholders in it, or whether it's vertically in terms of just like deepening the institutions, like making the institutions themselves stronger and better. Let me move quickly to the last section of the shiur. I'll just take 5 minutes to discuss this. I mentioned that, you know, this idea of the unity is the idea of the unity in tension with the idea of like there being different segments of Klal Yisrael. It's funny, somebody made a comment to me when they talk about Achdus, and I think this is a true comment. that often sometimes somebody speaks about, oh, Mikam Chesod Goyachad Baretz, we're all unified. Baruch Hashem, that now people are starting to see that I was right about, you know, how Klal Yisrael should look, right? So the, let's say the more Dati Lumi crowd are saying, oh, even the Haredim are signing up for Tzahal service now. Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyachad Baretz, all unified. And then the Haredim will say, oh, even a Chiloni soldier puts on tefillin. Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyachad Baretz. Everyone's starting to see the world we see it. So I don't think that's the sense of unity that the Torah is thinking of, that everyone's going to have the same Ashkafa and the, you know, who's everyone's going to meld or rally around the single point of view. And I think that's the idea of unity doesn't require that. The whole point of the Medrash that we began with is the 12 Shvatim is this type of federalist system where you have the different Shvatim, but they're still unified together as a Goyah Chad Ba'aris. I want to just take a minute to flesh that out. I think throughout, and this is the fourth section of the Shir, just to talk about the diversity of Hashkafos, halachic and Hashkafic camps within Judaism, that's not a threat to this notion of Goyachan. So we could develop this at greater length, but I'll just sketch it very briefly. You know, the Psukim in Bamidbar make a big deal about how each Shevet had its own kochos. Ishal diglo litzivosam, Ishal diglo v'osos leves avosam yachanu b'nei Yisrael. You can see here, Bamidbar beis, Ishal diglo v'osos leves avosam yachanu b'nei Yisrael, mineged tzavol olam moed yachanu. That each Shevet had its own banner, their own flag. And, Rashi explains, the Ramban explains that each Shevet had its own kochos, and their banner reflected the special koach that Shevet had. So Ramban here, for example, in Bamidbar Beis says some Shevatim were known for their gvura, Shevet God. Reuben was known for their tshuva. Zvulun was known for their wealth. Yisachar was known for their Torah. Yehuda was known for their political achievements in the Malchus. So each degel, basically, each banner celebrated the unique culture of each Shevet. And I think in Halacha, it goes deeper even. The Ramban makes the point in Devarim, Tes Zayin, Yud Ches, that when we're told to appoint Shoftim, it's Shoftim v'shochim titein lecha b'chol sha'aracha, asher Hashem l'kach anosin lecha lishvatecha. We're supposed to appoint courts in accordance with the tribes. Let me just close this window shade for a second. Better? Now you're supposed to appoint them for the tribes. And what does that mean? The Ramban explains that it means that there was basically a Sanhedrin HaGadol for each Shevet. So the Ramban writes here in Devarim Tes Zayin, meaning that each Shevet basically had a Sanhedrin HaGadol that paskined halacha for its Shevet and made takanos for its Shevet in the same way that we imagine the Bezin HaGadol for Klal Yisrael. V'im hutzerchu l'taken v'ligzor davar al shevet shalem goes in umetakenin v'hi l'shevet k'gzeira Sanhedrin g'dol kol Yisrael. And the Ramban points out, this is really implicit in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which talks about a Sanhedrin for each shevet. Nobody knows this Ramban. I think they do know the Ramban, but in public imagination, we think that there was, of course, like one Sanhedrin agadol, and there's like a uniform halacha for all Klal Yisrael. I think the Ramban's point here is consistent with this idea of Ishal Diglo Osos Leves Avosam, similar to the federalist system in America. Every state could make its own set of laws. Even for federal law, there are different circuit courts that interpret the law for their jurisdiction. There are some things that the Sanhedrin HaGadol steps in for and makes uniform across the whole country. But for many things, it's just the way it's supposed to be, that there are people of Texas could make laws that are agreeable for the Texans, and the people of New York will make laws that are agreeable for New Yorkers. And it's okay for there to be, you know, disagreements, even in halacha, about what the right interpretation of the halacha is supposed to be. And the Shvatim probably had different mahalchim about what the psak was supposed to be. It certainly had different gzeros, but they probably had different interpretations, just like, by analogy, Ashkenazim paskin one way and Sfardim paskin another way, and sometimes Polish Jews paskin one way and Litvish Jews a different way and Chassidim one way. I mean, it's built into the fabric of Judaism that there are supposed to be different schools of thought that paskin halacha and make takanos in different ways. Now, you know, there's a way to read that back. You know, the famous Yamshel Shlomo, that at Har Sinai itself, the way the Torah was given, it was given to be understood slightly differently. You know, even the different Shvatim may have heard the Kolos at Har Sinai slightly differently. But that notion of diversity might be built into the structure of the idea of the Shvatim, Milechatchila. Okay? Everyone good with this? Now, I think this relates exactly to the point, but to the point of the Sefer Charedim. Let me just mention one other idea to connect it. The Rambam seems to say, the Rambam says in Perashat Mishnayos and Makos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Yedzayin, that Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael Lefikach Hirbalem Torah Mitzvos, that it's given this way so that machmas ribui hamitzvos iefshar shlo yaseh adam achas b'chol yama b'shlemos v'yiskel asher as nefesh b'osa amasa. And one of the reasons why the Torah gave us so many mitzvos is so that different people could perfect themselves at, you know, some of the mitzvos. Some people are very good at chesed, and some people are very good at Talmud Torah, and some people are very good at daf yomi, separate category from Talmud Torah. And some people are very good at, tefillah, v'chayena rabos. And so the reason why you have so many mitzvos is partially so that people could specialize, and their contribution to Judaism will be in their excellent performance of that mitzvah. So you have Hatzalah guys who are great at Hatzalah, and Bikur Cholim people who are great at Bikur Cholim, and so on and so forth. And that's, I think that mirrors the notion of the Shvatim, where each Shevet, we know that Yisachar had its contributions, Zebulun had its contributions, and, you know, it worked nicely when everybody did their part. That's Goyachad Baretz, when the different pieces of Klal Yisrael contributed what they're able to contribute. And I think that's what the Sefer Charedim is getting at in his explanation about even the notion of Taryag Mitzvos itself is not a notion that we think that the Yachid is able to perform all of them. But by necessity, the Yachid's performance is accomplished through being part of a society where you're participating and you're benefiting from, you're a shutaf in what other segments of society are doing. And I think that's what the Sefer Charedim means when he connects this idea to Mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. And you look at Israel today, you see there are different segments of the society. You know, some people contribute through developing the economy, the whole market in Tel Aviv where, you know, people trade and invest. Other members, people sit in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, they contribute to our understanding of Torah. There's chassid organizations, there are universities that are osik in the chachma, mas abrashis, and maisim rakava, etc. And each segment of the population, some people participate in the security of the state, providing healthcare services, managing the roads. But that's the idea of a shared society where there's a sense of mutual strong interdependence, where you're goy echad in virtue of the different segments contributing in their way. And that's the Sefer Charedim's point. Taryag Mitzvos is not something that any yochid can accomplish, but it's through the collective enterprise of the different specializations, the different shvatim with their kochos, coming together to create the society. Zev, you have a hand, and then Romy has a hand.
Yeah, I was just wondering how you would square this, I guess, with the Gemara that says, like, when there were machlokas between Basil and Bishama, like, it almost became Shtei Toros, and we needed the Baskel to tell us that we Paskin like Basil.
Yeah, so I think that's a great...
Like, how does that square with this, I guess?
Yeah, so the answer there is very simple, because, like, the Sugas and Yevamos themselves talk about two Bate Din, Be'er Achas, or two different cities. So the disunity is bad if it's destructive within a single society. So, for example, like if you're within New York and it's not clear whether it's New York law or Texas law or California law that governs you, there's machlokas about the law that applies to you in this place, that's bad. But if it's separated to different jurisdictions, which what the Gemara in Yevamos itself says, then that's totally fine because everyone's makir. Just like, so it's bad if I don't know whether I'm bound by Ashkenazi law or Sephardi law. Right? But if, so Ash... The journey song, you know, Ashkespard or Svarshkenaz, that would be a problem in halacha. But when it's clear that there's like a bezdin for the Svardic tradition and a bezdin for the Ashkenazi tradition, as it is in the case of different shvatim, then that's totally fine halachically. So I think that's the answer to that. Romy?
Yeah, I was just going to say, in terms of the tension between, like, if people can specialize, then, but also everyone is a chiyuv in all these, in many of the different things, right? Like, even if someone can specialize in chesed or Torah or whatever, so the chiyuv. So is that supposed to be taken as like everyone's supposed to try at all things, but like you get, you know, you spend the most, right? You know what I'm saying?
So I'll say two things to that. Number one, I agree with you that at some level, everyone's mechuyuv at some basic level in all things. The question how minimal that level is a deep question. So let's say everyone's mechuyev in tefillah at some basic level. Everyone's mechuyev in chesed at some basic level, right? But I think it's totally fine for there to be, let's say, the woman at the kotel who say Tehillim all day, and then there's the guy who's sitting and learning Reb Chaim all day. You know, and the woman at the kotel is not learning Reb Chaim, there's a guy at the kotel saying Tehillim all day and a guy learning Reb Chaim all day. It's fine. Like, I think it's fine for them to be doing different things, right? So I think to some level, maybe we should all be doing chesed, we should all be doing staka. But I think it's actually, there's an argument to be made that no, maybe not. Maybe you take the collectivism stronger and you say, look, osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, like the tree of the marach or zeruah. So for the guy who's osek in Talmud Torah, he's pater for everything. The guy who's osek in melchemes mitzvah, he's pater from everything. So there's ways, just like, you know, Rashbi v'chaveirav, right, Taraso Mnaso exempts you, right? So I think there's actually ways of saying that, of trying to figure out how much specialization in one area could discharge you from obligations in another area. I think it's a deep question. Intuitively, I think we all want to say that everyone's got to do a little bit of everything, even if you're specialized in one. But I'm open to the idea that there could be hechatimsis where, like, certainly like at the extreme of like Melchames Mitzvah, like that person would be exempt from everything. And at the extreme of Rashbi b'chaveirav et Taraso Mnaso, they would be exempt from everything, which is just a way of saying extreme specialization. Right? But anyway, I just want to leave you with that, with the message about number one, the, you know, appreciating the sense in which there is interdependence and interresponsibility for all Klal Yisrael. That's the first part of the shiur. Nefesh, Achas, and Guf Echad. Very important theme. Number two, the role that Eretz Yisrael plays in solidifying or in creating that sense of ichud, both as a matter of philosophy and hashkafa, but I think even more as just like a practical matter when you look at like the capacity that the project of, let's say, the modern state of Israel has the capacity to be a ma'achid. And I think that creates a normative obligation on us to continue to seek unity through that common project of Jewry trying to build up the common land with a common economy, common army, to achieve like the common destiny of the Jewish people, while being mindful of the fact that yichud or ichud, goy echad, doesn't mean, you know, falling to the least common denominator or diluting the hashkafa of groups To the contrary, the model in halacha is that goy echad comes from, you know, the different aspects of the Jewish community being able to hone their strengths and put it to the use of the Klal Yisrael as a whole. All right, shkoyach everybody. So I'll see you all tomorrow back for, we'll pick up with the Taras Hashem Tamima discussion and try to wrap that up before Thanksgiving. So in the next year. All right, any other questions or comments? I'll stay on for a minute if anybody has questions.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rami.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, Rabbi, I